passing out of Adam from Paradise, also known as Forgiveness Sunday and Cheese Fair Sunday. And because it's Forgiveness Sunday, we know that we've arrived at the doorstep of Great Lent. Our salvation is nearer at hand than when we first believed, as St. Paul reminds us today in Romans. And so if we're to cross over the threshold into a holy Lent and begin the fast clean, Christ teaches us that we must love as he has loved us and learn to forgive and love our neighbor just as he first loved and has forgiven us. And so with this commandment in mind, Metropolitan Callistos reminds us of this rather sobering fact. He says, the fast without mutual love, are you ready? Is the fast of demons. The fast without mutual love is the fast of demons. And so we discover part of the depth of the fast that's demanded of us. That the fasting and the praying and the worshiping and the almsgiving, all of the things that Christ admonished us to do into the gospel today, that everything that is about must be internalized inside of us if it is to have its true, full, and lasting effect, to be used to heal us and further us in our growth in Christ in the kingdom. We cross the Lent with a desire for healing. This really has to be at the forefront of our desire. I am sin-sick, and I desire a change. I desire growth. I desire to be with Christ. This needs to be our fervent prayer today. We seek freedom from bitterness, from envy, from anger, from judgment, from pride, from lust, from all the sins that defile us and cause us spiritual sickness and separation from God and therefore death. And Christ calls us to interject into our brokenness, the brokenness of ourselves and our relationships with others, this act of grace, of loving or forgiving one another. But how? It's so difficult sometimes. There's no getting around it. Lent, if taken seriously, is hard work. It's struggle. It demands more from us than we can muster on our own. There's no armchair road that leads us into the kingdom of heaven. This is what Lent shows us. And so Lent itself being an uncomfortable journey. We call to mind the slogan, no pain, no gain, in a sense. And this could also be an apt phrase for our Lenten struggles as well. Anyone who's been to a physical therapist likewise knows that without some pain, stretching muscles and joints and going through all those contortions and slowly making more progress, there's no chance for healing. And so it is also, brothers and sisters, for our souls too. We want to follow the prescription that's given to us by Christ and his church as closely as we can. We don't go to a doctor receiving the diagnosis and the prescription, but then say, oh, I'll just take half of the prescription, thank you. Or, I know that this has been proven to be effective, but I'll just make it up myself as I go along. Well, so we fast as close to the prescription of the church as we can, always with a blessing from our spiritual father, because accountability is also part of the redemption and healing from our pride and disobedience. We pray the prayer of St. Ephrem with prostrations or matanyas twice a day as we are physically able. We carve out time from our busy work and family life to attend the Wednesday pre-sanctified liturgies and the services of Holy Week. And we put these on our calendar so that we say before ourselves and before God, this is my priority. Christ is my priority this holy season. I'm not going to let anything get between me and the work that God is going to do in me and through me this Holy Lent. I want to take several steps further, closer to Him and into the kingdom. And so we demonstrate in this way also to our children the priority of putting Christ first. Now, tomorrow is Clean Monday. It's the first day of Great Lent. Today we enter Lent liturgically. Tomorrow we begin the fast. And in all Orthodox cultures, Clean Monday is a day of strict fasting. Many of the faithful also use the day to clean out the house of anything that may be a distraction during Lent, anything that could be considered purely for entertainment, however you define that. The house is given a thorough cleaning as well, as people are able. But all of these external practices are really meant to be at their heart a reflection of the inner commitment to change, to cleansing of the soul, to return to a closer communion and relationship with God, a return to paradise. This is what we mark today. Adam, because of his disobedience, because of his sinfulness, because of his rejection of the sonship that God offered him, of being able to live permanently in glory, in the near presence of God Himself, life itself, having rejected that and said, no, I don't want that. We remember today both his exile, but we also, as we begin our Lenten journey, look forward to being reunited with Christ. And in order for this return to happen, in order for us to be able to participate more fully and faithfully in Great Lent, we begin Lent with an interior cleansing of the soul. We forgive one another and we ask forgiveness from one another for all the ways that you and I, through our sinfulness, pollute the world around us and our relationships around us, which God has made as good. Those of us who have grown up in a culture with Christian roots, however lapsed, often take forgiveness for granted. But being forgiven, asking forgiveness, is certainly not universally known throughout the world or in other religions or even in our own culture today. Even in Judaism, the adage was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And so for this reason, forgiveness is often a struggle for us because it is in its sincerity, truly an act of the kingdom of that return to paradise, of that closeness with God and relationship with Him that He desires to give us. To forgive involves both love and humility. Where pride reigns, forgiveness and love will both be lacking. But as we enter Lent, we remember the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. We remember and carry with us St. Paul's words to us today. Who are you to judge another servant? This is a hard teaching for us in our self-righteousness that we all struggle with at times. Against the background of this teaching, Jesus speaks to us in today's gospel, reminding us, if you forgive men their trespasses, their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, their sins, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so as with everything that Christ God teaches us, there's nothing arbitrary here. When we ask forgiveness, we're recognizing the reality of our own state as well. We're recognizing that we're sinners too. That my sins, my fallenness affects others. Our sins dim the light of Christ that is meant to illumine the world around us. Be that our home, be that our place of work, be that at school, be that wherever we go. And so in recognizing this, that our sins mar the beauty and goodness of creation and they darken the image of God and His likeness in us, we learn that forgiveness is truly a work of the Holy Spirit. And this is why so much of the world doesn't understand it or practice it. In our fallenness, we naturally nurse grudges, don't we? And in a twisted sort of way, we think that we somehow feel better holding on to our bitterness, our enmity, our separation from others. But tragically, in the end, it's we who suffer for our bitterness or our resentment or whatever it is, whatever harm has been done to us, real or imagined or projected. We suffer twice over and more when we allow ourselves to build up resentment. And once we begin to nurse a grudge, it gnaws at us like some spiritual cancer of the soul. God loves us, and because he loves us, he desires to liberate us from such bitterness and pain, the natural consequence of living in a world of sin and evil, which we by our own sins contribute to. And so, playing a part in the darkness and evil that we see around us. But we can also be a means of healing as well, of interjecting Christ into the midst of the darkness as well, by repenting and striving to love and to forgive others as God loves and forgives us. Sometimes this journey to healing and growth is painful. It always involves struggle, because the coping patterns and habitual sins that we've become accustomed to are so ingrained in us. They're part of the fallenness around us and inside us. But forgiveness is a big part of this healing. And this is why it's not an optional part of our life in Christ. Christ commands us to forgive so that we can be healed and grow in our participation in the communion of the Holy Trinity. Now, while forgiveness isn't always easy, it's not always also instantaneous. Forgiveness can sometimes necessitate an active and ongoing decision and attitude. I want to forgive. Just like we pray with our other passions, I want to be healed by Christ. Help me, Lord. Crying out to him. Just as simple as that. Because it's the attitude of the heart that God desires. That desire for change. That desire for growth further up and further in his kingdom. We need to pray for that ability to forgive daily. And this can also be part of the healing and growth in our humility, in our closeness with Christ. When we actively forgive, we become more like God himself, who forgives us willingly. And we become more fit to be in communion with Holy God, who is himself forgiving because he is humble, because he is loving. If we fast and pray and attend all the divine services of Lent, but we don't practice mutual love and forgiveness, we're deceiving ourselves and possibly doing ourselves grave harm as well. And so this is where the quote that I read at the beginning from Metropolitan Callistus comes into play. The fast without mutual love is the fast of demons. But conversely, when we actively forgive, even if we can't forget, we're able to grow and to heal. And then our fasting and prayer yields much fruit. We're given a new opportunity, a new beginning in Christ. We can find freedom from our sins and from the sins and the evil that's done to us, or that we see around us, or that grieves us. And with this objective in mind, and I invite you, I encourage you to participate in the rite of forgiveness that we'll experience at the end of Forgiveness Vespers this day, right after Trapeza. My prayer for each of us is that we may see Lent as a new beginning, a new opportunity to grow in the knowledge and love of God, to cooperate in bringing the healing of Christ into ourselves, our relationships, our church, our society. And with the renewed spirit of mutual love and forgiveness, we can abide with Christ. We can make the most of the spiritual hospital of Lent as fellow pilgrims on the journey to Holy Pascha, to the resurrection. I want to read to you in closing one of the beautiful and deeply meaningful hymns of the church that we prayed last night at Great Vespers, and that we really only hear at Great Vespers on these Sundays that are thematic in Lent. And so I invite you also to make a priority of coming to Great Vespers. Adam ate the forbidden fruit and was driven from paradise. He sat outside weeping bitterly. Woe to me! What will become of me, a worthless man? I disobeyed one command of my master and lost every good thing. O holy paradise planted for me by God, enclosed by the weakness of Eve, grant that I may once again gaze on the flowers of your gardens. The Savior said to him, I do not wish the death of my creation. I desire that all should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For him who comes to me, I shall never cast out. This is the theme for us of Lent. This is what Christ God offers us this Lenten journey, to be with him in the desert, fasting and praying, that we may face the devil as he did, with our own passions, and like he did, and with him and by his might, defeat him. Make spiritual progress further up and further in the kingdom of our Lord God. None of us, no one, is beyond this help of our Lord. All of us are given this opportunity to journey together with Christ to his kingdom, to his resurrection. I pray that each of us will find increased freedom and healing from our sins and growth in Christ's divine grace this Lent. And may we keep it holy. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.